We don't tend to do this a whole lot in the Church of the Brethren, but I'm wondering if you know this common call and response. If I would say, God is good all the time, and then I'll say, and all the time, God is good. All right, very good. This call and response is a great reminder of our priorities and where our focus should be. Looking beyond the storm we may be facing, the struggles we are working through, or the hard times we might be anticipating, we can say with confidence, God is good, and all the time, yeah. Pastor Holly Holt Wall spent time as an interim pastor in a church made up primarily of immigrants from West Africa, and specifically from Liberia. She shared that this church that she was interim in had a rich practice of gratitude. During their sharing time each Sunday, the congregants from Liberia would share concerns for one tragedy or calamity after another, but they would always close their sharing with, "Yet I thank the Lord for everything," or "God has blessed me so much," or "I praise the Lord, for I know the Lord is with me." Pastor Holly said, "Hearing these statements of gratitude and faith after shared pain humbles me. I want to complain to God a good long time before I'm ready to praise. My members move to praise quicker than I." It's true that most of us, when experiencing moments of pain and suffering, tend to dwell in self-pity and blame. Even the trivial things in life keep us from being able to experience joy, not to mention when we're moving through an extended time of suffering and heartache. There's room, even in Scripture, for this attitude of lament. About 50 of the Psalms in our Bible are what scholars call lament psalms, raising to God awareness of our concerns, our pain, and our anger. They say things like, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And my God, why have you forsaken me? And why, O Lord, do you stand far off?" But each of these psalms ends similar to the sharing from Pastor Holly's church. The psalmists remember when God has been faithful to them in the past. He remembers that God has been and will always be with him. So the tune of the psalm quickly shifts to one of gratitude, knowing that God will not leave him alone in his suffering. There is a time and a place for such lament, but we cannot stay there. Our hope must always take the lead in these moments because we know that God is good and all the time. The members of Pastor Holly's congregation felt gratitude because they could remember times when God was with them, even if God didn't feel close in that particular moment. They knew that God had been with them while they were in the refugee camp. They knew that God was with them when they came to the United States, and they knew that God was still with them even in this moment of struggle. This led them to see God's goodness and faithfulness in the midst of anything they experienced. Our psalm this morning invites us to have a joyful response to all of life, to make a joyful noise to the Lord and to worship the Lord with gladness, knowing that the Lord is our God and our Creator. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving," the psalmist says. "Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Theologians believe that this psalm is divided into two parts. The first part was possibly sung as pilgrims made their way to the gates of the temple in Jerusalem. And the second part was chanted by a choir in the temple courts. The first part is a summons to worship, an invitation to praise the Lord, and the second our motivation for worshiping, an invitation to praise the Lord in the sanctuary. As the travelers made their way to the temple and they entered the gates, they were reminded that we worship God because he is the Lord our God, who made everything, including us. Life is not our own, but is rooted in the steadfast love and faithfulness of our God. God rules the world, and we belong to God. And if God is God of all the world, then to the Lord and to the Lord alone is due all our praise. C.S. Lewis once said that the enjoyment of anything spills over into worship. It doesn't matter what it is. If it brings us joy, then our experience of it should turn into praise. It could be praise of the weather, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles. Anything we feel joy about, our response should be, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Today is our final day of stewardship season, and maybe that's enough for you to say God is good. Our first week, we talked about how God calls us to use our resources knowing that we cannot take any of our earthly possessions with us. And last week, we talked about how God's generosity should inspire our generosity. And today, we are reminded that our giving is in response to God's goodness. Our scripture this morning is not an explicit stewardship or giving scripture, but it's one that informs our giving. Pastor Holly said one Sunday she was talking to a woman named Miss Jala, who was wondering if the new offering envelopes were in because she had used all of her envelopes for the year. She said, "Pastor, I put something in each envelope. When I am gone on a Sunday, I will bring two the next week. No matter how little, I have to give to God because of what God has done for me. When I spent those years in the refugee camp, God was good. Now that I have money, I need to give back to God." The church is a place where we live the greatest commandment. First and foremost, we give opportunity for people to fall in love with God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind, through worship, Bible study, and through experiencing God's Spirit living and breathing in community. And second, we learn to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Giving of our time and our resources is as much about the first part of the greatest commandment as it is the second, even though we don't tend to think of it that way. A church that needs no money wouldn't be much of a church at all. Tithes and offerings are a sign that the church can make a difference because of their ability to minister to the world around them. But Christians are not simply do-gooders who also pray occasionally. Christians live into the fullness of the greatest commandment. Billy Graham once said, "A checkbook is a theological document. It will tell you who and what you worship." Giving is a way for us to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, putting nothing else, even our resources, ahead of God. Faithful stewardship calls us to love God and to love neighbor with everything we are and everything we have. This is why a psalm like Psalm 100 is perfect foundation for our last Stewardship Sunday. We love God because of who He is. We love God because we know that He made us and that we belong to Him. We love God because God gave us Jesus, who in His generosity emptied Himself so that we would be free to take hold of life that is truly life. We love God because God is good and all the time. Inspired by God's goodness and flowing from our love of God, we give freely of ourselves and all that we have. A preacher once said that as we present the offering plate at the altar after the collection's been taken, our prayer should be, "No matter what else we say or do here this morning, O Lord, this tells you what we really think of you." Today, during our offering time, you'll be invited to not only give your pledge cards, setting aside a portion of your money for God's use, but you'll also be invited to give the gifts of the Body of Christ survey. I'm hoping that you've spent some time over the last few weeks considering how God might be calling you to give of your whole selves, your time and your resources, to His mission in the world. If you're not ready today to make these commitments, I encourage you to take an additional week and deeply consider how you wish to respond to God's goodness. You can give your pledge cards and surveys anytime over the next week. It does us and our neighbor no good to give and serve out of a sense of obligation. To give and serve out of a sense of duty only leads to resentment, but to give and serve as an attitude of worship is infectious. To give and serve with an attitude of gratitude and joy is worship. It weds together the two parts of the greatest commandment, loving God above all things and loving God by loving our neighbor. May we be inspired to give because God's love endures forever. May we be inspired to give because God made us and we are his. May we be inspired to give because there is nothing we love more than our God. And may we be inspired to give because God is good and all the time. Amen.